In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Earlier this year, I was in Denmark on archdeaconry business. With an afternoon to spare, I decided to take the train to Roskilde, which has an impressive brick Gothic cathedral. And this cathedral houses the tombs of the kings and queens of Denmark, starting with Harald Bluetooth, who died in about 986, not the one who invented various electronic gadgets, by the way. There was also one side chapel that I could not get to see because it was closed, and a notice on the door said the chapel was being refurbished to house the tomb of Queen Margareta and her husband. I was taken aback at this because I thought Queen Margareta is still alive and ruling. In fact, she occasionally drops in to the Anglican Church in Copenhagen for the Sunday service. But actually, she and her husband are being sensible. I say this because many a time I have been to visit a bereaved family to discuss the service. When I ask what the dear departed would have wanted, hymns, readings, cremation or burial and so on, there is often an embarrassed silence. They had never talked about it, much less written anything down. So far from being ghoulish or morbid, it is actually a thoughtful thing to do so that you can save your relatives extra worry at a distressing time. And I have to say my list is getting quite long because I keep coming across hymns that would be great for a funeral. Actually, the value of doing this is more than the practical one of saving your relatives a job. Many of the great Christian spiritual writers of history have advised their disciples to contemplate death, our own death, as a spiritual exercise. This is quite different, I might add, from the modern desire to be able to choose when we die, with the help of people at Dignitas or wherever. You'd actually be surprised at the number of people I have visited in hospital and they've told me they've had enough. And then when I go back about a week later and they're feeling a bit better, they are keen to get home and carry on with their lives. But what do you want your funeral to say about you? About what your faith has meant to you and what you are looking forward to once the days God gave you on this earth have ended? In fact, that's not a bad place to start with the hymn, "The day thou gavest, Lord, has ended. And hour by hour, fresh lips are making thy wondrous doings heard on high." Basic geography tells us that it must grow dark in one place in order for it to get light somewhere else. And equally, this life must end so that we can experience what lies beyond. As the hymn says, the voice of prayer is never silent. This is because God is present at our beginning and at our ending, as well as all that lies in between and beyond. Another hymn that we often sing at funerals is the one we have just sung, "The Lord's My Shepherd," the 23rd Psalm, of which there are many versions. Some people find Crimond, the most common tune, and the one we've just sung, rather gloomy, a dirge. Actually, the word dirge comes from the Latin "Domine dirige nos," or "Lead us, Lord," from Psalm 5. Like Psalm 23, it's a prayer full of confidence that God is willing and able to hold us in his hand and guide us through all the changes that lie ahead. As he is with us in this world, so he is with us in the next. The shepherd, we know, leads his sheep to new and fresh pasture, which is a wonderful expression of our hope in Christ. Death is, of course, the end of a process of decay as our bodies weaken and finally shut down altogether, either suddenly or gradually. In this they are like the pasture, where a flock of sheep has been for a long time, eating the grass until it is all gone. We too are in need of new pasture then, and that is the promise that the psalm is describing for us, and which forms the context of every Christian funeral, as we commend our loved ones to the ongoing care of our Heavenly Father, who knows his sheep. If we find the tune Crimmond too gloomy, there are other brighter tunes we can sing. But it is actually important that our liturgy does not get stuck in enforced and false jollity. There are times when actually we do not want to be uplifted. We cannot cope with it. We need solemnity to express our pain and distress. As the psalmist wrote, "Out of the depths, O Lord, I cry to you." Good liturgy, and not just at funerals, needs to allow us to do that. Death is, of course, a time of loss. Loss of our loved ones, but also for the person who is dying. It is a time of handing over, letting go, giving back. To be able to contemplate our own deaths, therefore, is an important spiritual exercise. We must ask ourselves, are we ready to do this? Jesus told his disciples they must not hold on to life, but to lay it down in order to gain eternal life. What then have been the controlling, defining forces of our lives? What have we hung on to at all costs? Our pride, our possessions, our status. How will we cope when they are gone, whether through death or because of some other radical life change? Do we have the confidence to stand before God and say, "Nothing in my hand I bring"? And to be able to do so in faith, knowing that it doesn't actually matter, because he is the one who gives us all that we truly need in this world and the next. To be able to say with Julian of Norwich, "All will be well. All manner of things will be well." It has often been said that churchyards are full of indispensable people. As we contemplate our end, we also come to realize that we too are not indispensable, and that the world will manage without us. This is not to say that the good we have done and tried to do will count for nothing. Indeed not, for we must do what we can to follow in the steps of Jesus while time is left to us here on earth. But on the other hand, the realization that everything does not depend on us is liberating as well as sobering. Blessed John Henry Newman wrote that God has created for us a purpose and has given to each of us a task that he has conferred on no one else. We may never know in this life what it was, what it is, but one day we shall. We may also have confidence that God will enable us to accomplish this task. And so when we come to the end of our days, let us pray that he will say to each of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But to finish, let us return to funerals, our own included. They are occasions to commend our loved ones to the love and mercy of God, in faith, in thanksgiving, and in hope. There is a tendency nowadays to ask for a celebration of the person's life. And of course, there is a place for that. But a funeral should also, indeed should mainly, look forwards, not backwards. There are glorious Easter hymns we can sing that celebrate the new resurrection life. And our prayer is that our departed ones will share that life, knowing refreshment, light, and peace. Thine be the glory. The strife is o'er, the battle won. These are words that speak of Jesus' victory over death and the promise that where he is, there shall his servants be. Amen.